Podcasting from the Garden State. Welcome to another edition of the New Jersey Legal Update, presented by Stark & Stark, a 100-attorney law firm with offices in Princeton, Cherry Hill, Philadelphia, and New York. The New Jersey Legal Update is a weekly podcast providing the latest information on legal developments impacting those living or doing business in New Jersey.
Hello, my name is David Kulowitz, and I am a member of Stark & Stark's Employment Litigation Group. If you are a listener tuning in from your work computer, today's topic will be of particular interest as we are going to discuss an employer's right to monitor its employees' use of the internet, email, voicemail, and even the telephone. Over the last several decades, the proliferation of personal computers in the workplace has moved at a blistering pace. Technology has undoubtedly increased the speed and ease with which employees can communicate with each other and complete their daily tasks. In America, it has been estimated that 99% of all companies with over 1,000 employees use email. That would be roughly 26 million workers with access to either internet or to an email network. However, technology has also created new distractions that can hinder productivity and, if used improperly, can allow an employee to easily store and remove confidential and proprietary information from their employer. Conversely, the use of technology in the workplace has given employers a previously unimaginable ability to monitor the daily routines of their employees, in some cases literally down to the keystroke. The problem presented by such Big Brother technology is that the legal standards governing employers' ability to monitor its employees' use of electronic mediums is still in the fledgling stages. For employers in New Jersey, the monitoring or inception of wire, electronic, or oral communications is governed by both federal and state laws. This podcast will focus its attention on addressing these laws. Listeners from outside New Jersey are encouraged to speak with an attorney in their home state should they have any questions. Now, under both the federal and New Jersey wiretapping statutes, telephone conversations fall within the definition of wire communications, while internet use and email communications fall within the definition of an electronic communication. The two most important laws to this analysis are the Federal Wiretap Act and its progeny, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act of 1986. Under these laws, employers are barred from engaging in two similar but distinct types of conduct. First, an employer may not intentionally intercept the wire, electronic, or oral communications of its employees or disclose such intercepted communications. Second, an employer may not intentionally access or disclose stored wire and electronic communications. The distinction made between intercept and access turns largely on the timing of the monitoring. As interpreted by courts, intercept implies only to those instances where the monitoring is contemporaneous. In most instances, an employer's monitoring would fall under the second category, where the access statutory scheme. Failure to abide by these prohibitions can result in both civil and criminal penalties to an employer. In some instances, employees may be able to obtain injunctive or declaratory relief in addition to monetary damages, including attorney's fees and litigation costs. In addition, the New Jersey legislature has adopted the New Jersey Wiretap and Electronic Surveillance Act that closely parallels the federal statutory scheme. Like the ECPA, the New Jersey Wiretap Act establishes a private cause of action for any person whose wire, electronic, or oral communications are intercepted, disclosed, or used in violation of the Act. Again, this law provides for the recovery of compensatory damages, as well as punitive ones, reasonable attorney's fees, and litigation costs. Like any law, there are exemptions to these prohibitions, which in certain circumstances will allow an employer to monitor employees' communications. For example, monitoring which is in the ordinary course of business or where the employee has consented to the monitoring are permitted. A careful employer will take steps to ensure any monitoring it undertakes falls within one of these statutory exceptions. First and foremost, employers should institute email and internet policies which put their employees on notice that their actions can and will be monitored so as to diminish a right to privacy in communications or website activity. This should be done as soon as an employee is hired by providing him or her with a written copy of the company's policy. This policy should identify any computers, telephones, or other electronic equipment provided to the employee as company property. It should also indicate that such property should only be used in accordance with the employer's policies and explain that voicemail and email, even though password protected, are considered property of the company. Additionally, this policy should notify employees that their internet use, including email, is subject to inspection and monitoring, and that they will be regarded as having consented to this monitoring each and every time they log on to the internet or into their email account. Now, although it's not required, it is also a good idea that the employer have an employee execute an acknowledgement form stating that he or she has read and understood these policies. Now, like any policy, it's important, though, that the employer apply it in a uniform fashion so as to avoid a potential discrimination lawsuit. Now, additionally, courts have found that in certain instances, an employer has a right to monitor its employees' communications with or without a written policy in place. For example, an employer is permitted to monitor business-related telephone calls when such monitoring is done in the ordinary course of business for legitimate business purposes. Such purposes have been found to include training, to enhance the dealings with the public, or even to protect workers from abusive calls from the public. Additionally, an employee may monitor voicemail and email messages that are stored on the company's telephone and network systems as such data is deemed to be the property of the company. However, employers should view these decisions only as a fallback position. Again, the better practice is to implement telephone and internet policies as described above. Finally, I would suggest that all employers regularly discuss their expectations for internet and email use with their employees to ensure that both sides are in understanding. Employers must realize that although they have a right to review their employees' electronic communications, they should strive to only do so for legitimate business purposes and avoid monitoring personal email or voicemails past the point to determine they are personal in nature. Conversely, employers should understand that the use of the company, computer network, or telephone system should be done using reasonable judgment and that derogatory, obscene, or otherwise harassing communications are not only prohibited but can lead to disciplinary action, including termination. Hopefully today's podcast has been helpful for both employers and employees looking to understand their rights in today's electronic workplace. As always, I encourage listeners with specific questions to seek counsel from an attorney in their area, as today's discussion was only designed to present a broad overview of the legal landscape in this area of the law. If you would like to speak with me or any of my colleagues in Stark & Stark's Employment Litigation Group, please call us at 609-896-9060 or find us on the web, maybe just not at work, at www.stark-stark-stark.com. Thank you for listening and have a great evening.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's installment of the New Jersey Legal Update by Stark and Stark. And be sure to join us each and every Friday for another insightful discussion. We'd like to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information about Stark and Stark and the services we provide, email us at podcast@stark-stark.com.